This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
From the manaqib or the virtues of the muhajirun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that from their qualities, number one is that they were people of sincerity. They lived for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They spoke for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing about them was an action or a speech to build public perception. Nothing about them was an action or speech to create goodwill in society. If goodwill was created, then that was a byproduct of that which they did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they never intended fame, they never intended name, they never intended material well-being or financial standing from that which they did. Rather, they did what they did solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, they were raised in rank by Allah. And yes, a lot of goodwill was showered upon them. But this happened as a result of that which they did. Because even though the Quraysh, they had this vendetta against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they abused him, and they abused his followers, and they insulted him both verbally and physically, despite all this, they would still go to him and hand him their precious belongings for safekeeping. If they were to travel or if they were to fear something, they would go and give it to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they knew that subhanallah, this man, he is the most trustworthy person in all of Makkah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa bihi nasta'een, wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatam al-Nabiyyin, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawm al-deen. Amma ba'd, Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka anta al-alimul hakeem. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman wa amalan ya kareem. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, then none can guide. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I am about to greet you with the greetings of Islam. Are you ready to receive it? Are you sure? Right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, it would be an understatement to say that I am at a loss for words to describe what I feel or what I'm feeling right now. I mean, Ramadan has just begun, alhamdulillah, just a few minutes ago. The guests that we have been waiting for a long time, for the past months and the past weeks and the past few days, this guest has arrived. And this guest has come with bountiful presence. It has come with fasting. It has come with Salatul Taraweeh. It has come with the month of Al-Quran. It has come with the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which hosts the night of power. It has come with Sadaqatul Fitr and has come with the day of Eid as well. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. I mean, as I said, it is an understatement to say that I am at a loss of words. On top of that, my dear brothers and sisters, what exacerbates the emotions that I feel is the fact and the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered our dua. Because 1 year ago, I sat on this chair as we learned together the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during last Ramadan, and on the 27th night when the series came to a close, we made dua and we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reunite us in this life, before the hereafter. And I know and you know that we had no plans of being together this Ramadan. We had no plans of being together this Ramadan, but ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned and He decreed and He decided, and thus I am sat here. And wallahi, it brings great happiness to see faces that I love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to see the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Wallahi, wa billahi, wa tallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, I plan and you plan. But ultimately, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who plans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yus'al amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. No one will, or no one can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what He does subhanahu wa ta'ala, but each and every one of us will be questioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan our best Ramadan yet. Ameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our health and to bless our time and to bless our deeds. And from this moment, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with many, many more Ramadans whilst we are in good health, inshallah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Also from the outset, at the beginning of Ramadan, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free us from the hellfire. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the family of taqwa. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prescribed fasting so that we may achieve taqwa. Perhaps we may achieve taqwa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the family of taqwa. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannah with the man we will spend our evenings studying, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So my dear brothers and sisters, Blast from the Past returns to Malaysia, and in particular part 3. And for those who are unaware of this particular series, it is a series that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me to put together in 4 parts, which I call 4 seasons. And this Ramadan, we will witness season 3. And this particular series began 2 Ramadans ago in Melbourne, Australia, whereby I sat with the Muslims of Melbourne, and we learned throughout every night of Ramadan, the first half of the Meccan period from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last Ramadan, we sat together here in this masjid in Kuala Lumpur, walillahi alhamd, and we studied together the second half of the Meccan period from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's left? Well, what's left is the Medina period. And inshallah, this Ramadan, I hope, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits and blesses, to discuss with you all the first half of the Medina period, or part of the Medina period from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, the plan is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life, to complete the second half of the Medina period in what will be season 4, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So this Ramadan, we will complete, inshallah, season 3. Blast from the Past is a fiqh of seerah series. It is not a systematic story type run through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, it's a series in which we take snippets from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we extract and deduce lessons that matter to us now in the 21st century. Right? So it's as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is living with us now, and that is how blessed his seerah is, and thus the name Blast from the Past. It's a blast from the past that we experience now. It's a guiding blast, none of the illegal blasts, my dear brothers and sisters. Let me just clarify, in case somebody decides to take the wrong understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from that. So this is the reality of the series. And since this is a series, and since this is the second time the series is happening in Malaysia, I will avoid and skip the introductory discussion that we had during episode 1 last Ramadan. And inshallah, what we'll do is try and continue from where we left off. And for those who are unfamiliar with the series, then I advise you to search for season 1 or episode 1 of season 1 and episode 1 of season 2, which inshallah will be available in the near future, as our brothers who are handling the recording and the streaming have promised. And inshallah, I urge you to access these episodes, because in these episodes we discuss the importance of the seerah, the reality of the seerah, and why we need to study the seerah. And this is always an important discussion, because it helps recalibrate our thoughts, it recalibrates our paradigms, and it exacerbates our need to be here throughout Ramadan. I pray, inshallah, that the faces I see here will be faces that I will see, inshallah, throughout the month, right? So also from the outset, we must make a strong resolve that we don't start this Ramadan like we started other Ramadans, whereby we started with a bang and with... excuse me. We started with this iman rush, and alhamdulillah, we were there and we applied ourselves. But as the month wore away, we started to wear away as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Let's have a strong resolve to finish the month stronger than we've actually begun the month. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. And we leave this dua and request with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our last episode, last season, we completed the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. We discussed the time he spent in Quba and what he did there. And then we discussed his journey towards Medina. And he passed through the many tribes of the Ansar. And we stopped at the point of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering Medina and experiencing this great welcome from the inhabitants of Medina, from the Ansar, and those from the Muhajirun who had reached Mecca before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left a little bit later, and we discussed how he left Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an behind in Mecca to give away or to give back some of the aman, of the trust that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for safekeeping. And we discussed the lessons from this, right? And that is why, you know, my dear brothers and sisters, even though the Quraysh, they had this vendetta against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they abused him, and they abused his followers, and they insulted him both verbally and physically, despite all this, they would still go to him and hand him their precious belongings for safekeeping. If they were to travel or if they were to fear something, they would go and give it to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they knew that subhanallah, this man, he is the most trustworthy person in all of Mecca. In any case, we discussed all this. Now, before we dive into the first stages of Medina, I want to use this episode and use the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with to discuss some lingering lessons that are attached to the hijrah. To the hijrah and this period between Mecca and Medina. Lessons pertaining to the hijrah, or lessons that came about because of the hijrah. Because it's no secret, my dear brothers and sisters, that one of the most manifest incidents of Islam and from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the hijrah. And that is why this hijrah was a basis and foundation for what we know today as the Muhajirun. So this is number one, right? This is an important point or an important lesson that relates to the hijrah that comes about because of the hijrah. Number two, we have what we call the hijrah calendar, which is the Islamic calendar, which is based upon this hijrah, this migration of the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. This is number two. The third lesson that has an attachment to the hijrah is what you and I know as Makki and Madani surahs in the Quran. Makki and Madani surahs in the Quran. Because according to the correct opinion of the scholars, what differentiates between Makki and Madani is the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby all ayat and surahs revealed before hijrah are known as Makki, and all ayat and surahs revealed after hijrah, they are known as Madani. So inshallah, we will traverse through this bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in what remains of today's program, and inshallah tomorrow as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our time. So firstly, my dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about what we call the Muhajirun, and they were the Muhajirun because they migrated from Mecca to Medina because of this hijrah, then we need to discuss, number one, the virtues of the muhajirun. And number two, the rewards of the muhajirun. And the reason why I want to discuss this first, on this first night of Ramadan, is because hijrah is for the one who cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him or her to worship him on earth. Alhamdulillah, in this land, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to worship him. Nobody restricts our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, since this is the first night of Ramadan, and since there's no need for any hijrah, at least let's discuss the virtues of the muhajirun, so that perhaps we may spend Ramadan making dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the qualities that he cited as qualities of the muhajirun. For those who read the Quran and ponder over the ayat that they read, they will see that subhanallah, in many an ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he discusses the muhajirun, and he discusses a quality, a praiseworthy quality that they have, a praiseworthy quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. A praiseworthy quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So let's go through these qualities or these virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us about the muhajirun. Perhaps we can make dua to Allah to grant us those qualities, and we can chase the acquisition of these qualities for what remains in Ramadan. For indeed, Ramadan is a platform. Ramadan is a podium for us to launch ourselves from, right? Upon or onto the podium of excellence, that podium that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every person who has declared Allah as one, and every person who has accepted the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone who says la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this person is given a podium of excellence. But it's your job and my job, O servant of Allah and O child of Adam, to do the needful to get onto this podium. Allah has given us nothing but the best. And last Ramadan, we spoke about this when we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave us the best prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the best revelation, the Quran, via the best angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, to the best prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the best language, the Arabic language, during the best night, the night of power, during the best month, the month of Ramadan, and in the best of all places, Makkatul Mukarramah. And in this best revelation that came to us in the best way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that you are the best of all people. So my dear brothers and sisters, we have a God-given podium of excellence, but we need to do the needful. So let's take inspiration, inshallah, from the virtues that I will share with you regarding the muhajirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his book, in the noble Quran, he praises the muhajirun, and he cites for us, as I said, many virtuous qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And I believe Brother Raja, alhamdulillah, announced that there'll be questions that will be coming to you all every night, and prizes that are on offer, walillahi alhamd. From the prizes is what they call a segue, or what they call a hoverboard. If anyone wins that prize and you don't need it, I'll be happy to take it off you, inshallah. Right? So the reason why I'm highlighting this is because tonight's question is from what I'm going to teach you right now, the virtues of the muhajirun. And Brother Raja is looking at me with wide eyes, like, what are you doing? Why are you giving them a hint to the question? Well, it's no problem. We want to benefit, alhamdulillah. And the questions are not there for anyone to fail. The questions are there for you to win a prize, alhamdulillah. And before that, to benefit. So inshallah, today's question is from the manaqib, or the virtues of the muhajirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that from their qualities, number one, is that they were people of sincerity. They lived for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They spoke for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing about them was an action or a speech to build public perception. Nothing about them was an action or speech to create goodwill in society. If goodwill was created, then that was a byproduct of that which they did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they never intended fame. They never intended name. They never intended material well-being or financial standing from that which they did. Rather, they did what they did solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, they were raised in rank by Allah. And yes, a lot of goodwill was showered upon them. But this happened as a result of that which they did. And that was living for the sake of Allah and speaking for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his book, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. In this ayah, for those who are taking notes, mashallah, and I see many are, this ayah is in chapter 59, Ayah number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that also for the poor emigrants, for the poor from the muhajirun, also for them from the spoils of war, or is a share from the spoils of war. For them is a share from the spoils of war, and they are those who were expelled from their homes and their property. And they did what they did seeking bounties from Allah and to please Him. And this is the point of concentration in the ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they did what they did, seeking bounties only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites for us in this ayah as a quality from the qualities of the muhajirun, that they were sincere people. Everything was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their purpose behind everything was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in their work, even in their play, even in their interactions or social dealings, they intended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah blessed them with a profit from their trade, then that profit was a net result, was a byproduct of the trade that they did for the sake of Allah. Does that make sense? It's different to what many of us apply in terms of our intentions today, where we say we work to make a profit. No, the muhajirun, they worked for the sake of Allah. And a prophet was a result of that which they did for the sake of Allah. It's a byproduct of the action. But the actual action was for the sake of Allah, and thus it was ibadah. And we need to take this lesson down to the level of our education as well today. That even in our schools, in our universities, right? We should study for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the degree, not for the sake of getting a job. The degree and the job is a byproduct of that action which you do, which should be for the sake of Allah. And the power of making your mundane activities of your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only given to the family of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's only given to those who have declared Allah as one, to those who have accepted the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand this, O servant of Allah. The sad thing today is we have been given the switch to build our Jannah with every breath that we breathe, but we don't activate the switch. We work for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years for a profit, just like the non-Muslims do. We go to university for 10 years, to school for 10 years or 20 years, just like the non-Muslims do, to get the certificate or to get a job. And our Jannah does not feel us. Our Jannah does not feel the moments we are awake on earth. Our Jannah does not feel the moments we are asleep on earth. excuse me, brothers and sisters. I actually lost my voice a few days ago and it's coming back. Walillahi alhamd. It's a bit patchy, but we'll get there inshallah. Make dua for me that Allah gives me cure. So the point is, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a tragedy. This is a tragedy that a Muslim has the ability to build their Jannah not only when they're in Salah, not only when they're fasting. We can build our Jannah when we're stuck in traffic in Kuala Lumpur. If the reason behind why we're going to work is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means every second is counted as ibadah, right? If you're baking a cake even in the kitchen, if it's for the sake of Allah, every second it takes to become baked is ibadah. There are trees being planted for you in Jannah, inshallah. There are palaces being built for you in Jannah, inshallah. There are streams being dug for you in Jannah, inshallah. This is the reality. If you engage Allah, being sincere and making your life and everything about you for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result of it will be a baked cake. The result of it will be your paycheck at the end of the month. The result of it will be your degree at the end of your studying career and a job that you endeavor to achieve. These are results. For a Muslim, because of La ilaha illallah, we have the ability to achieve a higher purpose, a higher station, a lofty station. We have the ability to make our Jannah feel us with the waking of every day and the sleeping of every night. Even going to the gym. Sometimes people ask me about the gym. I say, even going to the gym, every time you spend on the treadmill. People need motivation to be on the treadmill, right? This is great motivation. Imagine if you, and I think we spoke about this last series. Imagine if you thought of every calorie as one tree for you in Jannah. How many calories will you burn on the treadmill now? Nobody will want to get off, right? Because 120 trees is not enough. I want 250. When you get to 250, you feel you have more energy. Why? Because building Jannah is fun. It's not stressful. And this is the power, my dear brothers and sisters, of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is why these muhajirun, they could go through the difficulties that they faced, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not as if the hijrah was not hard. And don't forget how hard it was before the hijrah. The hijrah was hard. They had to leave their homes. They had to leave their belongings. They had to leave their real estate, their properties. They had to leave their wealth. They had to leave their families. They had to leave Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we discussed this last season, when he left Makkah, how he felt, the hurt that he felt. And he said that he never wanted to leave, but it was the people that never wanted him to be there. Right? So it was difficult for them. The hijrah was difficult for them. They were going to a foreign land, to people they didn't know. To people they didn't know. You know, it's like when you travel to a country and the people who are meeting you at the airport, you don't know them. You just know that they are friends of someone you know. You feel nervous. You feel strange. Now imagine if you have to go live with them and stay with them forever. And you have to be at their mercy. And you have to be, you know, a product of their hospitality. Imagine what that does to you. There's a lot of things. You know, we have, you know, our own personal values. We have our egos and so on and so forth. The muhajirun left all this behind in a heartbeat. Why? Because it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was worth it. Nothing wrong can come from doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first quality, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the muhajirun, that they were people of sincerity. The next quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the muhajirun is that they were patient people. They were patient. I hope you're jotting down these values, because we need these values in our life. We need sincerity and we need to be patient people. The muhajirun were patient people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 16, ayah 41 to 42, or surah 16, Ayah 41 to 42. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as for those who migrated for the sake of Allah, after they were wronged, after they were oppressed, we will certainly give them a goodly residence in this world. But indeed the reward of the hereafter will be greater if they only knew. Who are these people? They are those who remained patient. Who are these muhajirun? They are those who remain patient in this world for the sake of Allah, and they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In ayah 110 of the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا فُتِنُوا ثُمَّ جَاهَدُوا وَصَبَرُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then verily your Lord, for those who migrated after they had been put to trials and thereafter strove hard and fought for the sake of Allah and were patient, Allah says, verily your Lord afterwards is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the muhajirun as patient people. And this is the second virtue of the muhajirun. From the virtues of the muhajirun, my dear brothers and sisters, is that they were truthful people. They were truthful people. And by the way, every virtue that I'm mentioning is a 1 to 2 hour lecture in and of itself. If we speak about sincerity, that is a lecture in and of itself. If we speak about truthfulness, this is a lecture in and of itself. If we speak about patience, this is a lecture in and of itself. But because of the scope of our time together, we'll just run through these virtues and perhaps you can read up further on them. And don't forget what's more important, to bring these virtues into your own life. May Allah make us from those who learn and put into practice what we learn. Ameen. Brother Raja, how long do we have to go? 7 minutes. Alhamdulillah. So the third virtue of the Muhajirun, Allah says they were truthful people. They were truthful people. Allah says in Surah 59, ayah number 8, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. We cited this ayah when we spoke about sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the muhajirun here that such are indeed the truthful, meaning they spoke what they meant and they meant what they said. This is who they were. And this is what being truthful is, my dear brothers and sisters, that you speak what you mean and you mean what you speak. And when you live on earth and you say you're a Muslim, you're a person of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you've submitted to the will of Allah, then you be truthful to that which you say by being attached to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and worshipping Allah how he wants to be worshipped and living on earth how Allah wants you to live on earth. Why? Because you also said Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad is his messenger, and you know that Allah taught Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how Allah wants us to be on earth. And this is what it means, my dear brothers and sisters, to be truthful. We'll take one more, inshallah, virtue, and then the remainder we'll take tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And this virtue is the virtue of struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bringing yourself about. And striving to beat your desires. Striving to beat yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The muhajirun were praised for their ability to strive and struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 9, ayah number 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Allah says that those who believed and migrated and strove hard and fought Allah's cause with their wealth and their lives, Allah says they are far higher in degree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are from the successful. And this is what Ramadan brings to us, my dear brothers and sisters. Ramadan is a month to train us to build our resolve, to strengthen our resolve in front of haram. Ramadan is that month that comes to make us people that inshallah can bring into our lives this virtue from the virtues of the muhajirun, this virtue to beat shaitan, the ability to beat shaitan, and the ability to beat our nafs. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, it's far harder to leave halal than it is to leave haram, right? It's far harder to leave halal. Why? Because when you do halal, you get Jannah. But it's easy to leave haram, or it should be easy. Some people are scratching their heads, say, what are you talking about? It's harder to leave haram. No, it should be easier to leave haram. Why? Because there's a hellfire after that haram. So because you're scared of the hellfire, you should be able to leave that bad. Ramadan, Allah tells us to leave halal, what is normally halal? Halal food, halal drink, and halal relationships. What is normally halal? And we can do it for a month to teach ourselves that if we can leave halal, which is harder to leave, then we have the power and ability to leave haram throughout the rest of the year. Right? And this is what it means, my dear brothers and sisters, to strive and struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from a battle and he said, we have come back from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. The greater jihad, which is the jihad of the self, to beat yourself, to beat your desires, to beat the whispers of shaitan. So this is virtue number 4, and we ask Allah to make this month a month of bringing the virtues of the muhajirun in our lives. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss a few more virtues from the virtues of the Muhajirun bi-idhnillahi ta'ala and discuss some of the other lessons that we have cited. My dear brothers and sisters, I love you all for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and bless our time and bless our month. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.